It's a leprechaun reference.
Two guys that talk.
And we know most people probably don't get it.
Two guys that talk.
We don't care about world news. Celebrity news, we're just talking about music. But these games at school, we're just some regular guys.
Welcome back to another episode of Two Guys That Talk, live from the middle of the tsunami that is the Midwest. I don't know why it's been so fucking windy lately.
Oh, I know. It's been terrible.
Has it been windy for you in the city?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because you have in the city, you got blocks. Like, up here where we live, we're getting bent over
no
barrel.
Windbreak.
Fucking showing the 50 states every day. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, lately, like last week on Trash Day, I was literally the beginning of the movie Commando, like watching outside waiting for the trash truck to come down so I could run out, like hand the guy my barrel, because otherwise the fucking thing's just going to go flying. I don't know what it is, but lately it's just, today was supposed to be like this beautiful day, right? They weren't forecasting any wind. I was going to pull the Blackstone out and fucking wind is just howling through here. So I'm still going to cook on the Blackstone, but I got it in the garage.
Grill you up a nice grilled cheese. What are you going to do?
No, we're doing BLTs.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, very nice.
So. We've got a doozy this week.
We are talking this week about the greatest movie ever.
I would say we don't typically, we always talk about how, well, we can't do movies that are a 10 because what can you really say? One slipped through the cracks. Because this movie, I didn't watch it until just earlier this afternoon because I was like, I really don't want to watch this because, like, I know it's terrible. A minute and a half in, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio in the fucking tree and What's Eating Gilbert Grape, just laughing my ass off the entire time.
So, for those of you out there that are just reading the title, obviously we're doing Samurai Cop. You might be saying, like, if you've never heard of Samurai Cop, you might be like, well, what, like, are they serious? This is notoriously known as, like, the movie The Room, as one of the worst films ever made. Mm-hmm. But it's so bad, it's good. And this movie might be, in all seriousness, might be one of the best buddy watch movies I've ever. Like, I watched it by myself. Taylor was napping. I watched it by myself, and I kept thinking to myself, like, she's going to wake up during one of these completely awkward and random, out-of-nowhere fucking sex scenes. Just open up her eyes, and there's some girl's butthole. Like,
that's so funny you say that, because that's my note. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just saw that girl's butthole.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, but I just kept thinking to myself, like, if I had a couple of friends here to watch this with, it would be a nonstop laugh fucking riot.
Out of all of the awesomely bad movies, this is the best one.
This is the best one. Have you ever seen The Room?
Yes.
Okay.
And I had way more fun with this.
Yeah. The Room.
Same with Troll 2. Like, out of all those three are typically on the Mount Rushmore of so bad they're good. And this one just tops the fucking cake.
I've never seen Troll 2.
It's awful.
I've seen Samurai Cop, because before this, I had never seen Samurai Cop. So how we got here, I was looking up a list of just so bad they're good movies. And I was also looking up, like, I was doing some research, Googling, like, fun movies to watch with friends, bad movies to watch with friends, that kind of stuff. Because I wanted to find a movie that you and I could just, I've told you this before, that one of my favorite episodes of this, because I went back and listened to it, was part 5 of Friday the 13th, because it was just so much fucking fun to watch that it was a lot of fun to talk about. So I was trying to find something like that. I messaged you, was like, have you ever seen Samurai Cop? You're like, yes, it's horrible. I was like, all right, I never have. Should we do it? And you're like, yeah, I think we should. I'm so fucking glad we did, because I will tell you this. This will not be the last time I ever watched this movie.
No, same here. I saw it years and years ago, but I've kept up. Like, I've watched any time any of my favorite YouTube creators or anything release anything about it. I'm always quick to the trigger to watch anything.
To that point, you're a big fan of Red Letter Media.
Mm-hmm. They interviewed this guy.
They interviewed the Samurai Cop, and you should go watch it. First of all, watch this movie. I think it's free on YouTube. I know you paid American dollars.
No, I didn't. I thought it was free on Tubi. I went on Tubi.
You actually went on Tubi?
Yeah, I went on Tubi and fucking...
After all these fucking times of telling you to go on Tubi, you
finally... Although, this, it's because I couldn't find it on Amazon. They didn't have it. All they had was it's like a... I can't, like real tracks. It's like people that are commentating. It's like a fucking... I think it's like a mystery science theater type of situation where they're watching it and commentating on it while they're like, oh, I don't fucking want that. I'm going to do my own commentary.
Yeah. Okay. So to that point, I did see it listed on YouTube, but I didn't click on the video. So I can't say for sure if it is the movie in full on YouTube, but it is free on Tubi and it's a fucking ton of fun. And we're going to get into why. Couple things that you should know off the jump. It was directed by a guy who was born in Iran, loved Hollywood, loved movies, wanted to get into making them, made like 60-some films.
It's, oh, really?
Oh, the dude has just this ridiculous catalog. But he is someone who – he didn't have money. He didn't have any of that kind of stuff. Like, he just wanted to make movies. English wasn't his first language, so that's why a lot of this dialogue is stilted. The filming of this movie took place over 3 months, and then 4 months later, he called them all back and was like, we have to reshoot half the movie. The reason, like, some of these scenes, we can't even get into continuity errors because there's so fucking many of them.
This movie, one of my notes is, this movie is the equivalent of It's Always Sunny's Lethal Weapon movies.
Yes.
It's an hour and a half version of one of those. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly how it feels.
Because there's one fight scene that's literally taking place in front of, like, these palm bushes, and then just out of nowhere, all of a sudden, one of these kicks takes place in the desert.
It's the bald guy, right?
Yes.
Because I was thinking this, I even wrote that. I was like, why? Where the hell are they? Like, he was just at a dead end.
That fight takes place in three different places. So you can't even begin to talk about continuity, things like that. It was just the ADR.
Awesome.
If the actor wasn't available to come in and do the ADR, the director did it himself.
I know there's a scene. It's after the guy cuts the burnt guy's head off, and they're walking out the hospital, and five different people all say the same exact thing. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. And some of them are just the director's voice. It's some big black guy. He had the same voice as this little fucking fella.
Five fucking people walk up to him, and they all go, hey, wait a minute.
Like I said, there wasn't a moment of this movie I was not – I even texted you, like, how are we going to talk? Every second of this movie is gold. It's all fucking gold.
Yeah, they walk out of the hospital that turns into like – they walk around the corner and it turns into like an outdoor motel, and then just dude meets him in the step. Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. And then the very next guy, hey, wait a minute. Like you said, it's a 6'5", big-ass black dude. Hey, wait a minute. Fucking, it's just incredible.
Oh, this movie. And it's one of those, and one thing that's really incredible about this movie, it's an hour and a half. Never drags.
No.
It's never boring.
Fucking flies. And that's just because you're just watching, like, how did this get made? Because
every scene is just like, it's like an onion. It's like, it's so many layers of horrible. Mm-hmm. And you just love every second of it. Like I said, there was not a moment of this movie I wasn't fucking had this big dumb smile on my face.
So the other thing I'm just going to bring up now, I'm going to try my best to go like scene by scene because I took a lot of fucking notes. But one thing I'm going to bring up now, because otherwise we're just going to be mentioning it constantly, is the wig.
Wig's back, baby. I have nine of my notes. The wig is back.
So what happened was the main actor.
Is there a way I can raise it? I'm going to get fucking spina bifida.
Yeah. Twist that. There you go. Twist that. Pull up.
There we go.
There you go. I just had it. There you go.
Go down a little bit. There we go. All right. Yeah. Tell them about the wig.
All right. So, realize how hunched over you were.
Yeah, I'd like to say. Okay. Back's crooked like a question mark.
So, the lead actor had this nice, actually flowing hair.
Beautiful man.
Funny enough, when Taylor wakes up, there's some scene with him, and her first words out of her mouth is she goes, that guy's got great hair. And I was like, you just wait till the wig comes back. She's like, what? I was like, there's a wig that keeps dipping its way in here. And then like two scenes later, and she goes, oh my God. So they shot this movie over a period of 3 months. When they were done, the director told him, yep, we're done. We got everything. We're good. He cut his hair for another role. And then he got called back like 3 months later. And the director's like, no, 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 we have to reshoot half the film. And when he walked in with his short hair, the director was freaking out on him, screaming at him, grabbed him that day and drove him to a wig store. And they bought the first wig they could find that looked even remotely. And folks, I can't do this justice, but he goes from having beautiful hair to looking like Howard Stern on the cover of Private Parts. And it is one scene, the fucking wig falls off.
Oh yeah, when they're fighting, it's amazing.
The fucking wig falls off. But I was also like watching a video on like how this thing got made, and they were basically saying like, look, if as long as nothing catastrophic happened, he took first take.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, I do remember hearing that. Like, yeah, they weren't doing a lot of retakes.
Nope. And the guy who played Samurai Cop literally said there was. He was purposely flubbing lines and try to see if he could get him to say, hey, let's do that take again. Nope.
Or like good. That restaurant scene. I know he said he kind of like purposely delivered it like shit, where he's like, hey, you motherfuckers.
Yeah. And I'm telling these sons of bitches.
And yeah, he said he didn't think in a million years they'd put it in the movie, which yeah. I mean, looking at the rest of the flick, it's not a surprise whatsoever.
Yeah. So we just have to bring the wig up to start because yeah, like you said, wig's back, baby. I mean, it comes and goes.
Oh, it's beautiful. When
the first time you ever see him, he's wearing the wig. He comes around the corner. I'm like, looks like a bad Wayne Campbell. Like he's got a black hat on and this god awful fucking wig. But so the movie starts with Sonic Industrial Zone 2.
That's what I put. Not Sonic, but I was like, this Nintendo theme music.
The fucking music that starts, it's just black screen, white text, which is fine. That's how a lot of the Friday the 13th movies, I don't have a problem with that. But then it just cuts to really close up on this Chinese guy's face, and he's just talking. Like, I feel like he was talking before it cut.
I did appreciate that, again, that it wasn't just, oh, Ching Chong, like, you know, like super egregiously racist, stereotypical Asians. They just talk like.
They just talk like normal people.
Normal people.
So
I mean, they are normal people. You know what we mean. They talk like
hand you a fucking shovel.
Yeah, exactly.
Just stop. We got what you're saying. Just stop. I'm gonna fucking hand you a shovel here. I do love though. And then it cuts to the one lady, and she's like, "Here comes the boss." Mm-hmm. And the guy comes out, and yeah, they just basically. There's also no plot to this movie.
No.
There's no fucking plot. Because if you try to piece this together, it ain't happening,
it's
Chief.
The Katana Gang, and they brought the Samurai Cop from San Diego to try to stop them.
That's all you need to know. The entire movie.
And then it's just fight scenes, funny scenes of people talking, tits. Fight scenes, funny scenes of people talking, tits. Yep, it's that same formula.
Recycle.
And it's incredible.
So the first thing that happens really is they go to a rival Chinese gang and they meet up outside of whatever warehouse. It should also be pointed out that every shooting location in this movie was owned by someone on the production team.
Oh, okay.
As well as the vehicles. They didn't have shit for a budget, right? They don't know what the budget of this movie was. It's been estimated by several people, but basically like non-existent, right? So anyway, when they go and they meet up with that Chinese gang and he's like, are you going to join us? No. And then they like stab him. The first dub of that guy next to him when he's like, yeah! I'm fucking dying.
Like, we should just point that out, too, like, because we could have a million, like, every scene would just be commenting on how terrible the ADR is.
Yeah.
The sound and the ADR in this movie is so goddamn awful, because like you said, a lot of times it's just the director, and it's, I don't even know, like, this movie's so hard to really talk about, because it's just, it's also like such a visually hilarious movie, because like how the color temperature changes from shot to shot.
Uh-huh.
And the ADR, like I said, we can't even put into words like how fucking hilarious it is.
Yeah, like they stab this guy, and then the Chinese guy next to him goes into like a martial arts stand, and it literally goes, it's just unfucking believable. And then after that, they kick their ass, and then the one guy goes, "Come on, let's get going. The job's done." It's just like I said, there's just so much bad dialogue, bad ADR. It is a nonstop laugh from beginning to end. This is where the Samurai Cop gets introduced. Okay, so he comes out. They give you one line about him being from San Diego, and then he's like, "We're gonna go catch the bad guys."
Yep.
And then
we get a car chase. That car chase scene. The only reason I bring it up is because when shoot him, shoot him. Then he shoots him, and we get the obvious sped up footage of the guy falling out of the back of the van.
Dude, if they didn't speed up the footage, I was like, my note literally is either they really sped up the footage of this car chase or Vicky Valancourt got a hold of all those vehicles because those vehicles are moving. Yeah, but Peggy, they radio to Peggy in the helicopter.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's this part. Yeah, I went too far. Sorry.
They radio to Peggy in the helicopter. It's not even her voice. They're like, Peggy, where are you? I'm landing. And it's like her first three lines are not her voice.
I didn't even notice that.
What? How could you not?
I don't know. I think I was probably too busy fucking laughing my tits off at something else.
Oh, my God, dude. Her first like three lines are Peggy's not even her slut. Voice. And then she comes in. When she comes in and talks, it's so different that it's just like, oh, my God.
Peggy's just, you know, for the plot, Peggy's trying to fuck everybody.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah, she's trying
all the cops are incredibly horny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this you could tell this was written by somebody who is, like, I don't know, like sexually repressed in some way. Because, like, that's their idea of, you know, machismo. And, yeah, it's hilarious because every interaction with him, with Samurai Cop and Peggy, is just like, what does he say when she's in the helicopter? Like, keep it warm for
her. She says something about are you up or are you down? And he says, I'm always up. And then he's like, keep it warm for me. And then like winks at the camera. And it's just like,
yeah. Gross. You guys are trying to do a drug bust.
You guys are in the middle of trying to stop coke dealers.
Yeah.
And you're radioing back and forth between the helicopter and the police car about fucking later.
Yeah, you get a fucking sticker in her ham wallet. Come on, man.
Speaking of the helicopter, he really milked that tour footage that he got, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So I have to believe he took a helicopter tour because like he has like some like the one bank that's in Los Angeles, the famous bank. I know it as the Maze Bank from GTA, which is, just makes me sound like a nerd. But anyway, I mean, there's a really long shot of that. There's just some long shots so that you clearly know we're taken from a helicopter footage. But then every shot of her in the helicopter, she's so clearly just sitting on the ground.
It's super close up. You can't see any of the exterior.
Like he even says a line to her. He's like, try and stay out of sight, Peggy. I'm like, well, that won't be hard since she's not flying. And the boat that the drug dealers get in. So they're following this blue van to a boat. Did you notice that the boat they get in on the sides is Carousel Boat Rentals?
No, I didn't. I didn't notice that at all. I did notice in the police station note that they just had a piece of paper that said detectives on the door. Like, couldn't get like a fucking plaque or something. No, just a piece of paper with Sharpie. Detectives.
Before this happens, again, just some of these lines, man.
It's hard. It's hard.
It's hard to say because
you want to do it justice.
I do want to do it justice because the plot is they're going to follow this blue van. He's like, this blue van is going to drop off the coke. Meanwhile, no music.
No.
Like, no music. They're driving them. They're following them. No music. No music in the helicopter. Nothing. Well, it just cuts to two guys sitting in the back of the van, and the one guy goes, they'll come by boat. And the other guy goes, oh, yeah. Again, it's just the director's voice.
Yeah.
But it's just... I'm just laughing my ass off watching this because it
feels like, honestly, it feels like when we were in presentation media in high school and like your Predator video that you shot.
And I love that this coke deal takes place at 2 p.m. on a public dock. I just love it. The one line he has, he's
hiding
like,
in plain sight.
He's like, well, it seems like we've lost him. I was like, maybe because you're in a fucking parking lot in the middle of downtown. Like, you guys were talking about how you're going to be at the marina, but you couldn't shoot at the marina.
Yeah.
Right? Except for these dudes walking down a public dock. You couldn't do a car chase in the marina. So you guys are driving around a parking lot. It's just.
Oh, yeah, man. This is guerrilla filming.
Well, and like you said, so they do the car chase.
Well, they'd have to do guerrilla filming if they wanted to do any of that stuff. So, because if they didn't have permits to go to any of the marinas or anything like that.
Yeah, they didn't have permits to shoot anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. And like I said, you could spend an hour talking about the continuity of how different places change. Like when they walk in the restaurant, like it shows them sitting at the table and it's like this white restaurant right up against the window. And then when they're like standing there, it's like this red bar.
Yeah. The feng shui, if that was all one building, the feng shui of that place would be so fucking disorienting.
Well, and then when he comes outside to shoot at him, it's like a backyard of a house because there's like the backyard gate you can see.
I think a lot of the like the shots like with the gang members and that like at the house, I think that's just the director's house or some one of his friend's house
probably
or something like
would
that.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, are we to the fire stunt yet?
Very close.
Okay.
Because before that, the dude falls out of the van and they run him over.
Yeah, then we get Benny Hill. Because that's exactly what it looked like when he fell out of there.
Well, and then when they run him over, so he's laying on the ground and the other cop goes, watch out. And you get a close up of him like faking like he's slamming on the brakes. And then this dude just lightly rolls to the left in the middle of the road like he just got ran over.
By a car speeding down the road.
There's blood on his knees and that's it. And he just like slightly rolls to the left and lays back over. And then they chase these guys into a fucking like this dirt mound thing. I don't know. And then you said there's the line where he keeps going, shoot.
Yeah.
Shoot.
You got him.
Shoot him. Yeah. He goes, you got him. Yeah. I got the bastard.
Yeah. It's just, and that's exactly the delivery. Yeah. That's the funny part.
Yeah. It's shoot. Shoot him. You got him. Yeah. I got the bastard.
It's like early, like PlayStation fucking voiceover work. Like it sounds so terrible. Yeah. All of it.
And then the van lightly bumps a dirt mound, explodes. I mean, it lightly bumps a dirt mound and just blows the fuck up. And then you get a stuntman on fire.
Oh, my God. So the driver initially, the guy he's a Hispanic fella. Mm-hmm. The stuntman, they're not trying to hide his face at all, not doing any shortcut. It's clearly just some older white gentleman.
Mm-hmm. He's running around doing the stunt. Then he lays down. And I was also reading this that... Those two actors had to put him out, mm-hmm. right? They'd never done this before, right? So you get to see on film them running over to put him out. And the stunt guy's just looking around.
Yeah, like, he's just laying there like all nonchalant. Like his face, like he looks bored.
Yeah, like, okay, put me out now. Like, like you said, they're not even trying to hide the fact.
No.
But also... The dialogue here, he's like, he's burning. He's burning. We got to do something. I was like, you just shot him in the fucking neck. Like right before this happened, they shoot the Hispanic guy in the neck.
Yeah.
Then it turns to a white dude on fire.
Yeah.
Speaking of them on fire, later when they go to the hospital, right before they talk to the nurse.
Okay.
I'm just going to wait till we get there.
Yeah, let's wait till we get there. Because that whole sequence is one of the best pieces of filmmaking ever. So right after they put this guy out, we're staring right in this girl's brown eye.
Well, before that.
Well, I remember.
She is supposed to be in the helicopter, right? They are now outside of their car.
Yeah.
She says over the radio, which they can no longer hear, good job, guys. Sounds like it calls for a celebration. And he just says back to her while she's flying in a helicopter, sounds good, see you at your place. And then it literally is, sounds good, see you at your place. Hard cut, staring up her butt.
Yeah, just naked as the day she was born.
And it's like, is this the reward for catching them? Like, yeah, there was no...
You can fuck her in the puss.
There's no setup. Whatsoever. There's no line of dialogue. There's no nothing that says these two are dating. For all we know, this guy was brought in from San Diego,
mm-hmm.
chased these guys down. She watched it all happen from the helicopter and thought, I'm going to ride his vehicle stick, yo. Like, I'm going to take that hog ride. Oh, like,
they had all that sexual innuendo. I guess it wasn't innuendo. They were meaning it. They were going to bump each other's uglies.
She's got pretty nice hooters,
though. Oh, man. Yeah, she did. I was trying not to go there, but yeah. Oink, oink. She had a rocking bod.
You know who she reminds me of?
I'm going to hear it.
You know the comedian Taylor Tomlinson?
Yeah, she's hot.
She looks just like her. Like, that's the first thing I thought. When you see her in the helicopter and she's got her hair up in the ponytail thing, I was like, God damn, that looks just like that Taylor Tomlinson.
The girlfriend was just watching her latest special. I was kind of listening. Actually, it was pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
She has some good jokes.
She's had some good material.
I wouldn't mind seeing her dirty pillows.
I didn't want to go there, he says.
You got that.
Yeah, I mean, she's... Whew.
Yeah, she's got a...
She's...
I hope all these gals... No kidding. I hope all these gals got... Because that one, the bad girl, I mean, she's showing full beaver.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is she...
Also completely out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of them. Every single sex scene. They do kind of build up the sexual tension between him and the restaurant owner gal.
Yes.
But the other two sex scenes in this movie are just completely abrupt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have a long drawn out, and that's the other thing. Like they have no bearing on the plot because we've said there's no plot, but they don't exist for any other reason than he just wanted tits in his movie.
Yeah, and they go on for fucking long.
The last one between him.
Like, man, I just came back from the bathroom. Please wrap this up.
The last one.
I'm only
between,
one man.
The last one between him and that girl, like the restaurant owner, is just like, okay,
yeah.
Is it done? How much is in there? Like, it just goes on forever.
Just like really awkward kissing, and it's just really uncomfortable stuff. Especially like the bald Chinese guy. Like, I felt kind of bad. That guy was a fucking ugly bastard.
Yeah.
And that one girl had to sit there and get all makey outy with him. I'm not trying to judge. Like, I know I'm not a catch, but
so after this, they go back to the Katana gang's
Katana, Japanese for sword.
What does katana mean? Japanese sword.
It's like, all right. Thanks.
Boy, when you're right, you're right. So they go back to the Katana gang and they start talking about this Joe guy who, in this first arrest, did nothing but drive the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he did. It was his partner that shot the guys. Yeah, got the bastard. It was his partner that shot them all. Joe just drove the car. But they say in here, he's a samurai trained in martial arts. He's fluent in Japanese. I'm like, what? What? He performs zero kung fu up to this point.
There's
zero.
He does lop that one guy's arm off with a katana.
Well, and I was going to say, for this movie being called Samurai Cop, he uses a katana twice in the entire film. The rest of the time, he's just shooting motherfuckers.
Yeah, it really had no business being. Like, they could have named it like Katana Gang Cop or some shit like that. Like, Samurai Cop really had no, I don't know.
So it goes from that, and he basically is telling him, like, hey, one guy got really badly burned. Katanas don't talk. I want his head on my piano, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it flashes to the
hospital.
No, it flashes to the police station.
That's what I meant.
Because Samurai Cop is telling his partner the story about his partner calling him.
Yeah.
So I'm laying there in bed with this really gorgeous woman. He's looking at his partner sitting on the corner of the desk like he's telling a story about being out that weekend. He's telling his partner about the phone call that his partner made to him. It's like, so I'm laying there with this really gorgeous woman. Hey, you know you're my number one. So this guy calls me and he points at his partner.
You know you're my number one. He's been there a fucking week. You guys have forged this strong of a bond? You're my number one? I've been here fucking 7 days.
Yeah, he's like, I just wrote down. I was like, is he telling his partner the story about his partner calling him?
This had to be like fucking ad-libbed or something. Because I know there was a couple scenes he was talking about. Like the dinner scene where he talks about, like, he went and caught the chicken. He said that was all improv. So, I mean, and here he seems very comfortable. He's not delivering stilted dialogue. I'm wondering if the directors had him going off. Like, here, you guys rap together, you know?
You guys just tell a story. Because he's sitting on the side of the desk, you know, and the cops are around him. And the one cop's like, I've heard enough of these stories.
Yeah.
What?
How many of these fucking stories? You've been there a week. And then his partner is sitting there like going to bat for him because the chief wants to get rid of his ass, send him back to San Diego. Like, we need him. Like, why? Why do you need this guy?
And the chief says, I feel like I have a club up my ass and it hurts. And I need to figure out how to get it out of there.
Like, so, I know to the listener, this movie's going to sound really dumb. And it is. But you have to just trust us that if you watch it, it's the greatest thing you will ever see.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, this is not the last time I'll ever watch
No,
this.
Fuck no.
If I just want a good laugh, I'm going to put this on because it is a fucking good time. So now is where it flashes to the hospital and they walk up to the cat.
I know it's a small part, but can we get a better actor?
This is exactly how this happens. He walks up to the cop and he goes, what's going on, Steve? Not much, sir.
Not much, sir. The nurse is in there giving him an injection. He's burned pretty bad.
Why are you shouting?
Yeah, you fucking Jerry girl. Fuck, relax.
So this is where they go in, and he says, how is he? You think he'll be able to answer a few questions? The dude is laying there like Squidward in the episode where he gets the shit shocked out of him for all those jellyfish. Firmly grasp it. Just think firmly grasp it. That's exactly what this dude looks like laying in bed. And they're like, think he can answer some questions? No, I don't think he can.
And then we get the fucking wildest interaction between two characters ever.
My note here is literally just, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because the first time I watched this, that's all I could say. Now, I'm going to point this out because, again, after this movie was over, I was like, I got to know more. I got to do some research on this fucking thing.
I'm guessing that he was going to pitch this as like a, you know, a buddy cop Lethal Weapon. And if that didn't work out, he was going to fucking manifest it into like a porno. Because that's what this is. This is like porno dialogue.
So
I'm for it.
This movie came out in 1990?
92. Same year as Terminator 2.
Okay.
Similar quality films.
It was direct to video. Basically went unnoticed until 2007 when someone uploaded this scene to YouTube, the nurse scene. And it slowly garnered like millions of views to the point where people are like, if this is a real fucking movie, we got to see it. Like, I got to see this. And luckily someone, whoever it was that was listed there, had optioned to pick it up to put it on DVD. So it existed on DVD and people were able to go watch it. And only then did it start becoming the cult classic that it's.
Could you imagine being that actor in 15 years? You think that this is so far in your rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, this is an embarrassing movie that I did 15 years ago. I never have to worry about it. And it fucking just surfaces like this and you become like this cult icon.
So it's also worth noting that this was the last film the director ever did. And he died in, I think, 2004. So he never got to see this movie.
Oh, he never got to see it.
Become what it became. Like, and it's
kind of sad.
Yeah. So this, again, this movie has been covered by, I mean, Red Letter Media, everybody's
Chris Stuckman, any sort of major like film outlet on YouTube. They've talked about this movie.
This movie, like I said, and once you watch it, you'll kind of get it. You just have to go in knowing that it is on the Mount Rushmore of bad movies. Mm-hmm. And it's so hilariously bad that you can't even begin to believe what you're watching is real. Because like you said, the color pattern changes. Because like Taylor said that to me. She's like, it's really distracting. And I was like, well, that's – so I would learn it's because the dude would literally use whatever film was lying around. It didn't matter that he shot that scene on this type of film. If he had a canister of this film, he was filming on it. So whatever he could get his hands on is what he used. Stock footage, whatever. So that's why it's just all fucking over the board. Some scenes are like yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one looks okay. And then the next one will be like a completely different color profile. It's just...
Yeah, it's so like DIY. And I know they made a sequel to it. I've never seen the sequel, but I cannot imagine. Because if you try to go in and make a bad movie, you make a bad movie. Mm-hmm. This works because... This fucker was trying to make a good film.
Yeah.
And that's why he failed so miserably. That's what makes it iconic.
You also need to understand that when he made this movie, this was around the time when Commando and Stallone and all that kind of stuff were riding high on action movies. And then like towards the beginning of the decade of the 90s, like some samurai movies and stuff like that were gaining some popularity. So this guy
was in time.
Like, so this guy was like wanting to make his own version of this movie that audiences are going to flock to see. And yeah, like you said, he fails so unbelievably miserably that you just can't help but smile because it's like, you said, it's kind of
endearing.
Yeah. I won't watch the second one.
No, I won't either.
Because the second one was made in 2012.
Yeah. They just made it like not that, I mean, 10 years ago, but yeah, exactly. Like
made in 2012. And yeah, like you said, I don't know this for a fact, but I have to believe that they went in like, well, let's make a bad movie.
Yeah. They're trying to make an awesomely bad movie and it doesn't work. A lot of people have tried. 2015.
Oh, 15. Okay.
And yeah, like it's just it's not it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Awesomely, movies that are so bad that they're good happen when the person was trying to legitimately make a good movie and they just didn't know what they were doing.
That's why The Room is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have that fucking psycho Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau was not trying to make a bad movie.
No.
Like, he was trying to make a serious drama.
Yeah, he was trying to make a compelling drama. Sorry. You're my favorite customer.
Hi, Dougie. Oh, that fucking movie.
But even that, like, that one, it doesn't have, like, what this has as far as, like, because, like, The Room, when I've watched it, it's just, like, it started, like, I like when I first turned it on, I'm like, okay, like, this is hilarious. It kind of overstays its welcome.
100%.
It never overstays its welcome.
The Room gets boring.
Yeah.
Like, The Room, you're just like, okay, I get it. This movie sucks, and I'm ready to shut it off. I've watched The Room once. I could care less if I ever watched it again. I might watch this one every year.
Yeah. And it's because The Room, although it has all those issues, a lot of The Room's problem is with, like, the ADR, the horrible story, and just Tommy Wiseau looking like a fucking melted candle. And this movie, you have the horrendous ADR, the color temperature changing every shot, the fucking Benny Hill fucking sped up footage, the ridiculous sex scenes that just come out of nowhere. It just has all these different elements and makes for this incredible flick.
So while he's talking to the nurse and the nurse's dialogue is what it is, it keeps flashing back to his partner. Making these unbelievable. I'm not even going to say the nurse's dialogue. I'm not, because I will never do it justice. If you don't watch this movie, type in Samurai Cop nurse scene on YouTube and watch it. And it keeps flashing back to his partner. And I told you, it's like watching somebody eat a warhead, all the fucking different reactions that we get out of this guy. Like, his facial expressions are ridiculous. Oh,
he looks like my cousin.
He does.
Like a black version of my cousin.
When you texted me that, I was like, holy shit, he looks just like him.
When I saw him for the first time, I was like, holy shit, that looks just like my cousin. All right.
So after this incredible nurse scene, they go outside and they tell the other officers, watch The Room from all sides. He's very important to us. Okay, we won't. No one's there watching the door when she comes up. And then my next note is...
Well, Jerry Curl stops her, but she tells him she's got to take out the trash.
That's true. Because they're going to go in and cut this guy's head off.
Yeah.
And then my next line is, every person that approaches them goes, hey, wait a minute.
Dude, I cannot tell you how hard I laughed during that. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. It's five fucking different people. That's all say the same thing.
They all say the same line. They all sound the same because they're just ADR'd by the fucking director. The other time that the director does really horrendous ADR is when he's in the fucking film room for some reason.
Yeah, I think I remember him talking about, like, it was actually a deleted scene. Because, yeah, he's just standing in this, like, film development room when he's got this fucking horrible hat on.
And there's a big black guy that comes around the corner and says to the girl at the counter, we'll only be here for a little bit. And it is just the most horribly ADR line from an Iranian guy doing this guy's voice. Like,
okay, so now where are we at here?
Well, so after, hey, wait a minute, they take off.
Oh, yeah, they get so... I got a kick out of when they get in the elevator and the girl tells him, good job. I was like, he cut a defenseless man's head off. I probably could have handled that. Like, what the fuck you mean, good job?
This is where they go back to the chief and he's yelling at them.
Yes.
Because a man in our custody has died and he goes, and an officer lost his hand. When? when did that happen?
Yeah, we never got to see that. I love the end of this scene is kind of notorious because it's so clear. He goes, come back here, you motherfuckers. And he just stands there and holds, mm-hmm. waiting for the director to yell cut. Mm-hmm. And he never does. So he just kind of stays in character, holds there for a second, then sits down, starts laughing. Then we jump to the next scene.
Yep. The guy comes around, kisses him on the head. And he's like, you son of a bitch. And he stands up. He's like, you come back here, you motherfucker. And like you said, and then it's just forever.
No, yeah, no music, just pure silence.
As this guy just stands there. And then like you said, he sits back in his chair and he starts laughing. Like, okay, that was, you know, can't believe I'm fucking doing this. And it's all in the final cut.
I just didn't edit that out at all.
This is where we're going to find out. They find out that they're going to go fart in the Blue Lagoon. The restaurant they're going to is called the Blue Lagoon. So I literally wrote down, I farted once in the set of Blue Lagoon.
I got a kick out of this. Who are you? I'm a cop. Then this crazy musical cue. I'm like, what the fuck is literally going wrote on down. Here?
I was like, there has been no music for any of the car scenes, any of the him cutting the dude's head off. We have no music whatsoever. The first time you get a musical cue, he goes, I'm a cop. Yeah,
it's like, you guys already talked about him. You already know he's here. Again, like you said, like the continuity, just none of it adds up.
I love the head Asian guy's, the head of the Katana family here. I love his line. Officers, if you have anything on me, book me. Otherwise, as they say, get the hell out of my face.
Who says that?
Who says that? You know that common expression, oh, get the hell out of my face.
I might watch this tonight. I watched this movie a mere 3 hours ago. I might have to watch this again. This is the most fun I've had in so long watching this movie. Do you have any notes on this goddamn waiter after they're leaving the restaurant? This flamboyant fucking weirdo waiter?
No, because I didn't even know what to write.
Like, he's just a fucking psychopath. Yeah. I don't know what else to write either. That's what I was saying. I was like, what is this? What is this choice for, as an actor?
Well, and not only that, what is this scene? It accomplishes nothing. There's no, he doesn't give them any information.
No.
Other than he tells... How he tells them that her dad committed suicide.
Yeah. Bang!
Yeah.
So fucking Captain Sensitivity over
her
here.
Her dad's dead. How'd he die? A bang.
And he finger guns.
Yeah, he's like.
Can't see us, but he does a finger gun to his own side of his head with a smile on his face.
And he goes, he was shot? Mm-hmm. Who shot him? Him. Who? He. Oh, he shot himself?
It's like a who's on fucking first with Abbott Costello.
It's like, oh, he committed suicide. Uh-huh. It's like, what the fuck is happening? And then we go outside and we get our first real fight scene.
Yeah, shootout, baby.
First person he punches is not Lionel Richie. That dude was like straight out of 86. But
yeah, because that's when a big jawline guy comes out and releases the devil dogs on him. Okay.
Because this is where...
That dude's jawline is distracting as that fucking wig.
So. Yeah, and I mean, it's not... Have you seen him without his beard?
No.
My God.
Did he look like Crimson Chin?
Yes. It's unbelievable. Like, how does your chin look like,
dude,
that?
Dude, he must, like, be chewing on, like, fucking, like... Fuck, what's, like, the hardest bubble gum ever?
I don't know. Bazooka?
Yeah, he must be, like, chewing on bazooka gum for hours.
I was going to say, fucking bazooka. I don't think I've ever had a chewy piece of bazooka gum. So... Basically, they walk outside of this restaurant now. We have a quote-unquote fight scene. Then Jawline Man pulls out an Uzi.
Yep.
Fires off like 200 rounds, kills his own men, tosses a grenade, which blows
just
up.
Has a fucking grenade in his pocket.
Just has a grenade in his pocket. They were just having a lunch.
Yeah.
This dude's
never leave home without it.
Got an Uzi and a grenade in his back pocket at the lunch table. Walks outside, rolls the grenade underneath the car. It blows up twice.
Yeah.
And then he just fucks off. These guys say, let's get out of here. They move from one car to the next and crouch down, and that's all they do. And then no fight back, no shooting, no nothing. They just stay crouched behind this car, and he just fucks off, and they stand up.
And you described that so much better, because, like, I put this fight / shootout, like... This is gold. I don't even know how to fucking describe it because it's just insane.
Well, and then he delivers that great line where he's like, man, my car's, the captain's going to have my ass. Look at my car. And he's like, yeah, he's going to burn it. Charcoal black. It is black. All right.
Then they have a five.
Then they high five.
And did you see that car prior to it exploding? It was a piece of shit.
It's a Cutlass Supreme and the fucking front end is all smashed in.
I was like, is this supposed to be a fucking police unit? Fucking, the one headlight was like dangling off the side.
Dude's car got a little banged up.
Yeah, look, oh my God. My fucking head hurts. Oh, this movie.
So, we've already established Joe's incredibly horny.
Yeah, who's Joe?
The Samurai Cop.
Oh yeah. I didn't know his name, I'm not gonna lie. Oh, yeah, because this is when he goes and talks to that gal. You got that weird-ass lion head.
The fucking dude, I literally wrote, I was like, this god-awful lion head on the wall.
I don't even know what they're saying. I can't stop looking at this fucking thing.
But what he says to this lady when he walks in, he's like, my name's Joe. And she goes, and they call you Samurai? I guess you know a lot about me. one thing. I know they call you samurai. Boy, I guess you know a lot about him. You got me pegged.
He slept with women that have known less about him, apparently, because old Peggy's throwing that beaver around, about to join the police force.
Yeah, Peggy has some weird line.
Yeah, like, we got nothing to do. Let's go fuck.
Yeah, they're having a stakeout. And she walks up to this cop. They're supposed to be watching the back door. She walks up to the cop. She's like, since we got nothing to do, let's fuck.
Like, Peggy, can you take your job seriously for a minute, please? Fucking lives at stake. Trying to take down the goddamn Japanese cartel in this town.
So he's standing there talking to her. There's this unbelievably god-awful lion head on the wall that you can't stop staring at.
Now that's I thought it was amazing.
Then he walks out of her office, which is supposed to be above this restaurant, and he walks onto a dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, my note is, where in the fuck are they now?
And this is the wig is back, baby. Wig is back. And this is where it pops off.
Yes.
Yep. This is where he's fighting.
Because this is where the bald guy is making out with that one girl.
Yeah, because that's the stakeout. You're right.
Yes.
We kind of glossed over that. They're going crazy waiter. He tells them that this is where this guy lives, right? I think that's the piece of information that they got from him. No. He leaves homegirls. Okay, sorry. Back up 5 seconds. He leaves homegirl's place that he's trying after the lion head. Those four guys attack him.
On the dance floor.
Yeah, on the dance floor. He's got one guy in like a classic. He beats the shit out of him. One guy's running away from him, and he fucking knocks him off. He has him in a classic wrist lock, and he basically tells him, I'm going to break your fucking arm if you don't tell me where this guy lives.
That's true.
Then we just get a hard... The reason we glossed over it, because it's just a fucking hard cut. Give me his address. All right, we're here.
Yes.
Like, that's all it is. There's no like him talking to his teammates, trying to, you know, devise a plan, planning the stakeout. It's just... Tell me his address. All right, this is where he said it was.
Yep. Yeah, I wrote, all I wrote was
that. Finally got that kitchen cleaned up.
Yeah, I was like, that was a real quick cut to outside the house. That was my note. Okay, so that's what that means. Yeah, it's, yeah. Tell me where his fucking address is. All right, this is his address.
Yeah, this is what the guy told me.
Are you sure he's in there? I don't know. This is what the guy told me.
If not, we'll do the classic police, whatever the fuck he says. We'll tell him, we'll apologize. You know, classic police stuff.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they come around the side. This dude's sucking face.
Yeah, this poor broad.
And then he says...
Some fat Japanese guy in his underwear.
And he says, this might be his last fuck. And he's like, well, then let him finish. And he's like, no. And then he comes around the corner and he goes, police. And he can't get
and
the sliding...
And he's struggling so much with that sliding glass door.
It reminded me of Kelso and that 70 show. What is wrong with this thing when it's locked and he can't get it open?
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, he's telling this guy to freeze. I think he's supposed to whip the door open and then say freeze. He said freeze and then struggled like a motherfucker to open a sliding glass door. And then this guy, for whatever reason, jumps out the window.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful stunt.
Okay, he leaps out the window. Did you notice the door was right next to it?
No, I didn't.
The front door is here. The window is here. And he just went, that's my option. And he head dives straight out this fucking window.
And then, this is, yeah.
Yeah, so then they go off to a dead end in a backyard. And he says, are you going to shoot me or fight me like a man? Mm-hmm. And then you get another really terrible, fucking ADR. And like I said, this fight takes place in three places. Mm-hmm. It's a backyard, then a desert. And they keep flashing back to his partner running to wherever they are. And he's running across completely different backdrops and I wrote down the wig just came off.
Yep, this is where the wig pops off. Then he gets him in a Steiner recliner.
Mm-hmm. And then my next note is
I thought he was going to break his neck, but he didn't. He's trying to get some information out.
Yeah, I thought he was going to break his neck too. And then my next note is sudden tits again.
Yeah, because this is right after this is when you see bad girl's tits in her muff.
Yeah, yeah, like you said, she's to set this up. These two are fighting in a field. Yeah, he puts him in the goddamn camel clutch.
Because then they get into fight. He gets him in the camel clutch, and then he goes to like let him go. He gets information out of him, and he goes to let him go. And then homie goes to go shoot him,
and his partner shoots him. So this is when
he
his partner
goes to kill his partner, and then Bullseye Bobby shoots him dead in the eye.
Yes,
dead between the eyes. That's right.
So all of this happens. He gets shot between the eyes, lands dead on a dock.
Yep.
Because now all of a sudden, there's a dock. He lands on a dock. Tits.
Yeah.
It just cuts, and this woman takes her robe off, and she is stark ass naked.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're seeing pelt and all. Like there it is. I just and I kept waiting for Taylor to wake up. Like she's sitting next to me. It's on a Sunday. She was taking a nap. She fell asleep on the couch. And I'm just every time one of these random ass scenes happen, I'm like, this is when she's gonna wake up. Be like, what the fuck are you watching?
This movie is an hour and 36 minutes. This is like 23 minutes of sex scenes. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Because like you said, this one drags on forever, too.
They're padding this fucking runtime.
Just rolling around on the bed with...
Dude, like, sucking on her top lip and, like, pulling. I was like, dude, this is fucking weird, you big-jawed bastard. Like, come on, man. That's a lady. You gotta respect them.
So, he gets a call about something.
And he just knows it's his boss. Must be the only person that calls him on that line, because he didn't have fucking caller ID. Tell you that.
And then it flashes to Joe outside of the church. Joe is Samurai Cop.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Flashes to Joe outside the church because he's stalking this woman now because she said, I can't go to dinner with you tomorrow. I'm going to church. So that's when he's like.
We fucked up. So.
Did we miss a scene? Because my next note was his line about preaching.
After he shoots him between the eyes, that's when we get to the fucking photo development scene.
What?
Because it goes from the photo development scene to the girl just getting naked.
I didn't have any notes on the...
Because I go, oh, Bullseye Bobby, baby, got it right between the eyes. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Where are they at?
Okay, so I didn't have any notes. I thought I had notes on that scene.
Yeah, my only note is, why is he at this place with this goofy-ass hat on? Why is this fucking film all shaky? And it's all sped up. Even like him just talking to this guy. It's like,
yeah. The guy sitting next to him is talking, but no words are coming out. Yeah,
and it's like a fucking...
Fucking Benny Hill.
But then we get another classic shootout, because that's where the guys from New York, they call these guys up from New York, because that's their plan, because after he kills bald fella, Fu Manchu mustache guy, the bald fella, that's their plan. Now they're going to call the guys from New York to kill him. Because before they weren't going to. They just wanted to send somebody to break his fucking legs.
Yes.
And that's why those four guys attacked him.
Okay, yes. Yep, you're right. I love how we're trying to piece together this plot.
None of this fucking matters.
None of this fucking matters.
They got beef. That's really it.
Well, because my next note was them standing outside the church. And he says the line... She's like, oh, were you in there too? He goes, yeah, I was in there preaching. Didn't you see me? No, you weren't. Stop kidding me. Nah, I'm kidding.
It's like our buddy Bobby. Can't let a fucking joke ride.
Can't let a joke ride for 3 seconds.
Because this is where they start going after. So after he kills those guys from New York, now they're going after his fellow cop friends. They go to the dude that Peggy wanted to scrum while they were at the stakeout. Yep. And they kill his wife in the most hilarious scene ever. Where a man's wife gets her throat slashed in front of him. Mm-hmm. So I was laughing my ass off the whole time.
Well, why is your titty got
to
fall out?
That's what I said to you. Like we had to get a fucking a glance at this woman's bosom. Like, is this fucking necessary?
Yeah, because they're holding her back and they're holding him, and she's just over there fighting with this one guy and just tit
just flops out. That's it. Then they're covered back up.
Yep, and then they're covered back up.
All right, thanks for that.
And then she gets her throat slashed, and I wrote down there was they killed the cop and his wife. And then it cuts to Beefcake and this girl in swimsuits walking on the beach.
This fucker not own swim trunks.
He's wearing this high-waisted Speedo. He's in great shape.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I guess if I look like that, too. Like, when I go to the pool, I'm wearing, like, a fucking parka. This guy, he's fucking chiseled like David. So, I mean, I guess I understand, but this guy is just, I mean, you're just seeing all of his... meat and two veg.
So he's had one meeting with this lady above the restaurant. He stalked her to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said he had more police questions for her, takes her back to his house, They walk in the door and she's like, is this your place? Yep.
Took you that long to fucking, wait, we're at a residential. This is a residence.
Yeah. So that's really what happens. She's like, is this your house? Yep.
You have to walk in there to fucking realize that you're not down in the business district.
But I mean, thankfully he just happened to have a swimsuit in his closet in her size.
That's what I was thinking. Like, hey, thanks for lunch. Also, I brought my swimsuit.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, they walk down to the beach. So you get to see this guy's wife's titties. Her throat gets slashed. He's freaking out on the floor because his wife just got killed. Cut to those two walking down to the beach in their Speedos. Mm-hmm. They stop, kiss on the rocks. They walk away, and it immediately cuts to a guy with a gun and another weird no music cue. And now they're inside his partner's house.
Yeah. You're going to call off with Johnson.
Well, he says, I'm going to relieve you of this gift, this black gift.
I mean, that was a great line. When I hear lines like that, I'm thinking, okay, this movie is self-aware of how fucking ridiculous this whole situation is. But I did love, like, once he gets the upper hand on him, the one guy's like, leave him alone. Like, you were just fucking threatening to cut off his dick.
Also love how he's like, they're asking for his address, and he tells them it's in the closet, and he believes him. I keep all my addresses in the closet. And he just goes to the closet and he starts pulling out shirts and he keeps going,
it ain't in here.
It ain't in here.
I mean, you're probably pretty, if you're a grunt and like some fucking, you're probably a stupid bastard.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next scene is Peggy with the bacon grease. And I wrote down, this could have actually been an effective scene because I'm thinking in my head, like, man, in a good movie, like this type of like torture scene would have played really well, because basically Peggy's cooking bacon grease, She's cooking bacon. Her pan's full of bacon grease, right? When she comes back towards it, they're in the room. They hold her down on the table and he takes the pan and he's holding it over her stomach and he's just slowly pouring bacon grease onto her. And of course, you know, she's screaming. What makes this scene not effective is she screams the line, you're burning me. And he says back, yes, it burns. And I'm just like, God damn it. You were so close to having an actual good scene.
No, this is better. This is way better. We can't have an actual good scene in this movie. It'd throw off the feng shui.
And then.
Then we go back to them swimming. And this broad says, I'm hungry. Like, how long you fuckers been swimming?
Yeah, because you just ate a chicken.
Yeah. You guys been swimming for fucking 6 hours?
Yeah, because this is the only time that it's not a instant tits. Mm-hmm. They're swimming. She says, I'm hungry. They go back inside. She told him it was her birthday.
And it's splicing between these two and Peggy. Because I wrote down how long you've been swimming. Then I thought, luckily Peggy has a gun drawer in her kitchen. Fucking drawer that just has one singular pistol in it.
Yeah, you're right. It keeps cutting back and forth between these two having a great day.
Yeah.
And Peggy getting the shit. And
Peggy having to utilize her gun drawer. Never thought she'd have to, but for a rainy day, just in case.
So he brings out a birthday cake. He picks her up. They walk over and just this incredibly long, drawn out, topless makeout session to a car rolling down the street. Just cuts to a car driving down the street and his partner trying to call him like, come on, man, pick up.
Because they're on their way there, man. They're coming to get you.
And they're literally like driving down the street towards him.
Yeah, because I say, another gratuitous sex scene. Then the wig, baby, is back.
Okay, so my next note is.
Wig is my favorite part of this whole movie. It's the best reoccurring character.
So my next note is Big Chin and some of his associates are now trying to catch this guy, right?
Yes.
Him and the girl climb out of this window. They like stand on the side of the house. They're like peeking around. The other guys come around. I think they shoot at him once. He says to her, it'll be all right. Go back inside. I'm like, bold of you to assume you're surrounded. Yeah. Then Big Chin says, you can run away all you want, but you'll never get away from me. And then he immediately gets away from it because no one thought to watch the front door. Those two leave the front door, climb in that red car and drive away. is the easiest getaway you've ever seen in your life. Right before that, he says, you can run all you want. You'll never get away from me.
What's the problem? What's your point?
This movie's incredible.
Oh, dude.
And then, yeah, my next line is, oh, the terrible wig is back.
Yes, and then we get the greatest death scene in this entire movie.
Are you talking about the big tubby guy that tries to hide behind the skinniest tree in the world?
And when he gets shot, he just, like, bites his... Like,
so
I don't know how to describe this. It's the fucking, like, Chris Stuckman had a great line. I haven't watched his video on this movie in years, but I remember one line, and it's this guy. Like, he said, did they cast this guy because they thought he would die really well on screen?
Because he doesn't.
It's fucking hilarious how nonchalant this guy is about getting shot like four times.
Well, so like, picture a rather large husky gentleman trying to hide behind a mic stand, because that's essentially what this guy does. He walks up to this very thin pine tree. He's sticking out of both sides of
it. He's a big fella.
He takes three steps forward and dies. Well, he gets shot.
Yeah, he gets shot like four times, and he just so like gingerly falls to the ground. It's
you could tell he was not there to get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. He was there to get his $50 and a sandwich and fucking move on with his life.
Somehow they kidnap that girl.
Yeah, they never really. Yeah,
because the only thing I have is the head of the Katana Gang's line is he goes. Now that she loves you, you have to worry about her life, not me. And his partner from the steps goes, neither do I. What? You have to worry about her life, not me. And then his partner says, neither do I. What?
What the fuck? Who cares? Who cares? This movie, it doesn't need rationale.
No.
Or any logical dialogue.
Well, so
for a plot to drive, like, this is one of the only movies where it doesn't matter that there's no plot driving this at all. I mean, other than like Big Lebowski, but Big Lebowski is great for different reasons.
Yeah, this is just loosely connected scenes.
Yeah.
And the end of this movie is the big shootout. It's the commando, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of Commando, he goes to their little villa or whatever, and he just kills fucking everyone. That's essentially what happens here.
I haven't seen Commando in so long.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have a great fight scene with Clark Duke? Not Clark Duke. Clark Duke's the nerdy actor from Hot Tub Time Machine.
Bill Duke.
Bill Duke.
Yes.
I'm going to fucking kill you, man.
Walks into the fucking hotel with him. That is a joke that does not play on the podcast.
No, it doesn't, but it's amazing. If you've ever seen Sex Drive. I think his name is Clark Duke.
Yes, it is Clark Duke. Yep.
Yeah.
My only other line was, these are the worst fucking henchmen in history. What?
This is Arnold fucking fight Clark Duke in that fucking, it's like a hotel room or something.
Yep.
I did 6 tours, motherfucker, or something. It's like some line
I
like
eat green
that.
Berets for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, I eat green.
Clark Duke standing across from this green berets going to kick your ass. Little Clark
tiny
Duke.
Tiny little nerdy fucking against that Austrian monster.
Little old Clark Duke going to kick his ass.
Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah. Let's,
So anyway, after everything that happens, the bad guy kills himself.
Yeah. He wants to die with honor.
Mm-hmm. And then butt cheeks on the beach.
Yeah, we're back to the fucking Speedo, man. This guy needs to go to Kohl's and get a goddamn pair of swim trunks.
I also love how they're like, oh, let's fuck on this rock.
On these beans.
There's all this soft sand, and they put a blanket on a boulder.
You don't want to get sand in your... You don't want to get sand in your shit pussy in a downturn economy.
I know you stole that joke from a comedian. Oh, yeah. It's so fucking funny. Oh.
I wish I could take credit for that, but I can't. Doug Stanhope. You're bagging your shit pussy in a downturn economy. You be tonguing ass for a living.
Oh, fucking A. Go watch Samurai Cop.
Oh my God, for the love of Christ, drop everything you're doing right now and go watch it.
Go download Tubi. It's 100% yeah. free.
Or if it's on YouTube, watch it on there.
Well, hang on. Let's just do our due diligence, and I will tell you if it's actually the movie or not.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go, baby.
So type in Samurai Cop. The title is Samurai Cop, full movie, classic crazy 90s action, Mike Nelson.
Mm-hmm. Hour and 28 minutes. That's, if you got that one, you got the right one. Watch it and just enjoy yourself. Yeah, the tits even on YouTube?
Let's see.
Because maybe that's where they cut out the fucking 8 minutes.
Well, they might have. There's the birthday. There's her getting bacon grease. Right here would be, if there's moon in the sky and tits on the beach, it'd be right here. All right, wrap it up. See what I mean? Car. Just pulling down the street. They did. They did cut that out.
Yep, that's why it's not an hour and 36 minutes. Yep. Watch it on Tubi.
Because it goes from these two. He picks her up right here and carries her to the bed, and then we have like 7 minutes, but now it's the car pulling down the street.
Yeah. Watch it on Tubi if you're a pervert.
Because right here is where she says to him, like, that deserves a congratulations. Mm-hmm. See you back at your place. Then on this, it cuts to the Katana gang talking.
How can they? Where am I going to miss key plot points?
So that's how they cut. Okay. So you can watch it on YouTube. Just know that all the completely abrupt
and useless
sex scenes are gone. But you ain't worried about the plot anyway.
That means there's literally 8 minutes.
Yes.
It's an hour and 36 minutes. And that's only an hour and 28. 8 minutes of just gratuitous sex scenes.
Mm-hmm. That, mind you, never progress past kissing.
No, no.
There is no
heavy petting.
There's nothing. It is literally just two people laying in bed kissing.
Yeah.
For 8 minutes.
Yeah. I guess they do try to, like, they have a homegirl riding the whoopee stick there in the beginning. It's just so you can get.
I was going to say, it was literally just so you could have a good shot.
Yeah, a good shot of her can.
That's all it was. Because you never see him.
No.
She was sitting on a couch for all we know.
You see him later in his fucking Speedo.
Yeah.
See about all of him.
Like I said, man. I mean.
But then again, if I look like that, he's still in great shape. That interview that they did with him, I mean, granted, it was quite a few years ago that Red Letter Media did with him. Mm-hmm. He's still in fantastic shape.
Yeah.
Good for him. Watch this movie for the love of God.
Yeah, just, I mean, we've tried to do this justice. We can't.
No.
Okay? We can't. Just download Tubi or go on YouTube if you want, because again, you don't need the sex scenes.
No. I mean, they do add an element of hilarity though,
because they're so abrupt. Fucking abrupt. Mm-hmm. Like they're so fucking abrupt.
There's no like smooth transition. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, this happens. Tits.
I don't think there is one transition in this entire movie. It's hard cuts to everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But this is the best example of so bad it's good that I've ever seen.
Yeah, me too.
So it's entertaining.
This movie's so much fun to watch. So go watch it. Go watch it immediately. And if you can, watch it with several friends. Because it will make it that much better. So, all right. You got anything else?
No. God, no.
God, no. Go watch Samurai Cop.
I'm going to go watch this again.
Yeah. Go watch Samurai Cop. I might watch it again. What are we doing tonight, dear? Not watching Samurai Cop.
You're missing out.
She fucking woke. She woke up like, I don't remember. You woke up like with like 20 minutes left.
Well, yeah, of course you didn't know what was going on. Of course you didn't like it.
It was still stupid. Yeah, you weren't hip to the plot.
Yeah.
You came in at the end of the movie asking all these questions. Yeah, can't figure out why you don't know what's going on.
I mean, you can't even answer any of the questions. Like, why? None of these characters have any motivation.
I don't think any of them have names. The only reason apparently. I know Joe and Peggy. Joe and Peggy.
Joe and Peggy. I could not tell you any of their other names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, who cares?
Doesn't matter. Anyway, go watch Samurai Cop. We'll catch you guys next week.